This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Although Albert Einstein was the greatest genius of the 20th century, many of his groundbreaking discoveries were blighted by mistakes, ranging from serious errors in mathematics to bad misconceptions in physics, and failures to grasp the subtleties of his own creations. His extraordinary intuition about physics, nonetheless, permitted him to discover profound truths despite, and sometimes because of, the mistakes he made along the way. The new book is Einstein's Mistakes, The Human Failings of Genius. We are honored to be joined by the author, acclaimed physicist Hans Ohanian. Hans, how are you, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. It's a beautiful book, a really big book, too, almost 400 pages. And tell us first, Hans, where this idea came from. I mean, you're a prolific writer, a well-known physicist. What are you working on when you realize, you know, there's a book here about the mistakes, not the successes of the great genius?
Well, what triggered this was the year 2005, which was celebrated as the Einstein year all over the world. It was the anniversary of Einstein's first five great publications in 1905. And there were conferences, museum shows, and a heap of new books in honor of Einstein. I went to conferences, I went to museum shows, I read many of the books, and I visited the places in Ulm and Munich and Pavia, Bern, Zurich, Berlin, and Princeton, where Einstein lived and worked. I thought that all of this celebration was certainly justified, but I also felt there was something missing. Everybody talked about the great achievements of Einstein, but nobody mentioned his mistakes, his failures. It all seemed very one-sided. And I began to think that for an honest and fair appraisal of Einstein's work, it would be helpful to have a catalog of his mistakes.
Absolutely. We're talking with Hans Ohanian. The new book is Einstein's Mistakes. And what's so great, I think, Hans, about your book is that you humanize what has become an icon. I mean, Einstein has become iconic, and you introduce us to the man, and you show so much about the work that he did was about discovery. He didn't just come out of the womb, you know, a genius, and he was very, very human.
Yes, I think that is exactly right. He was very human, and he had typical human failings, and this influenced not only his work as a scientist, but of course also his personal life to a very significant extent.
Give us some examples, if you can, of some of the mistakes that you write about in great detail. And we should let folks know that there's much more in this book than just Einstein. It really is, you know, a survey of modern physics, and there's a whole lot in here about Galileo and Newton as well. It really is a fascinating account with terrific context for the life and the work of Albert Einstein. But give us some examples of, as you started to really look into the literature and the archive of his work, what did you come across?
Well, in trying to track down the mistakes in Einstein's work, I tried to follow the advice of Friedrich Haller, who was Einstein's supervisor at the patent office in Bern, who used to say to his patent examiners, when you take up an application, think that everything the inventor says is wrong. If you don't do that, you follow the inventor's chain of reasoning and you become partial. This is how Einstein must have analyzed the patent application when he was at the patent office, and I decided to apply the same method to his own work. I read and reread Einstein's work. I assumed everything was wrong except those things that I could clearly tell they're right. And by proceeding like that, I identified some 24 mistakes in Einstein's writings on physics, including mistakes in each of the 7 proofs that Einstein contrived to demonstrate that E is equal to mc squared.
So some of his math was wrong, right?
Sometimes the mistakes were slips in mathematics. Einstein was not a particularly good mathematician. He had neglected his mathematical education at the Polytechnic Institute, and he did not really like mathematics very much. He actually later on, when he could afford it, hired assistants to do his calculations for him. He called these assistants his Rechenpferde, meaning his calculating horses, a word he took from the celebrity horse of those days called Clever Hans, which was a horse that apparently could do arithmetic by tapping its hoof.
That's great. His calculating horses.
Right, calculating horses.
That's great.
But to explain one of the mistakes, and I will take a mistake in what is perhaps Einstein's most famous work, which is Special Relativity. In 1905, Einstein proposed a solution to the puzzle of the speed of light. There was at that time considerable evidence that the speed of light is actually constant and doesn't depend on the motion of the Earth around the Sun in any way, which is a puzzle because the way we usually think of combination of speeds is that the motion of the Earth around the Sun should affect the speed of light. Just think of an Indian warrior riding a fast horse and he shoots an arrow forward or backward. The speed of the arrow relative to the ground will then be different, forward and backward. And something similar should happen to flashlight signals that you might send forward or backward along the direction of motion of the Earth while standing on Earth. And Einstein was concerned about this puzzle for about 10 years, since about 1895 to 1905. And he finally thought he had found a solution, and the solution hinged on how to synchronize clocks used for the measurement of speed. Want to measure the speed of light, he thought you need a racetrack. You have a clock at the starting point, you have a clock at the end point, you measure how long the light takes to go from one clock to the other, and of course you have to make sure that these clocks are synchronized before you start any measurements. And he thought that if these clocks are synchronized themselves with light signals, then there's no way of discovering any differences in the way the light travels from one end to the other or back. Which meant that Einstein was resolving the light puzzle by a trick. But the trick had a defect. The trick had the defect that if you now discover some other way of synchronizing the clocks, then maybe you can find something quite different for the speed of light. And in Einstein's days, there were no ways for accurately synchronizing clocks except by sending light signals. But some 60 years later, Hewlett-Packard constructed atomic clocks which were sufficiently accurate that by transporting an atomic clock from one place to another, you could synchronize the clocks at the starting point and the end point without using light signals. And that meant that Einstein's trick for solving the puzzle of light now became irrelevant. And it meant that the constant speed of light that we find experimentally really reflects a basic law of physics and not merely some trickery with the synchronization of clocks.
We're talking with acclaimed physicist Hans Ohanian. The new book is Einstein's Mistakes, The Human Failings of Genius. Can you talk a little bit about this idea, which is really at the heart of your book, that genius really doesn't operate by logic, and that so much of what Einstein did, his real true genius, as you say, he wasn't a mathematician. He didn't like math. It went sort of beyond math, and the brain and the math and the formulas sort of had to catch up with the ideas that he had. It was almost mystical in a way.
Yes, I think mystical is the right word to describe it. In fact, Einstein himself didn't really know how these ideas came to him. He admitted that he mainly thought in terms of images, and these ideas which just suddenly come upon him without any particular clear logical process by which they arrived. I think Einstein was as much puzzled by how he arrived at his inspiring ideas as anybody else. And I'm afraid I have, of course, even less insight into how Einstein arrived at his discoveries. In fact, for me, it's even unimaginable that he would have thought in terms of images rather than words. My thinking is purely verbal, and I think the thinking of most people is purely verbal. When we think about something, the whole sort of internal conversation with ourselves. And it's very difficult to imagine how Einstein could have done anything different, but apparently he did. And something about his thought processes that made it possible for him to think in a way that was very unusual and to arrive at very unusual ideas.
Was he a religious man at all? Was there any element of spirituality to his life? I'm just curious.
At one time, as a teenager, he acquired a certain amount of religious fanaticism for a little while. And he would memorize long passages from the Old Testament and even composed a hymn to God, which he inflicted on his parents at all times of day and night. But apart from this brief episode, he was not religious, and he thought of the, especially of the rights of the church or the rights of the Jews as being essentially remnants of ancient superstitions. That's a notion he had acquired from his father, who was Jewish but not a religious Jew, and in fact took great pride in not following Jewish rites in any way.
We're talking with acclaimed physicist and author Hans Hanyan. The new book is Einstein's Mistakes. Tell us how he handled his celebrity. There was certainly that element of it in America, in the world, really, let's be honest. But how did he deal with that? He was, from reading your book, I understand that he was, and I never knew this before, that he was a really funny guy, and he was had a terrific sense of humor. I'm wondering if he took his celebrity with the sense of humor.
Yes, he had an excellent sense of humor, and he had a quick wit and was always capable of coming up with a witty remark about things. But he also complained occasionally about the burden that his celebrity status imposed on him. I think that these complaints weren't very frequent, and I have a feeling they shouldn't be taken too seriously, because he really seemed to enjoy the company of reporters and photographers, and he was almost invariably willing to cooperate with everybody in such circumstances. So for whatever reason, I think he really enjoyed his popularity. And the few complaints he made about it did not really amount to much.
Yeah. What do you think it is that most Americans don't know about him? I guess the obvious, besides the obvious that he made some mistakes, but besides that, I'm curious if you came across anything in your research and that you found particularly interesting about his life.
Well, I would say that the most obvious point here is that he turned out to have been a very bad mathematician, and that is something that probably will surprise most readers, because you think of Einstein as being a mathematical genius. He wasn't a mathematical genius at all. He was a genius in physics, but not in mathematics. And I think he's also generally regarded as being a perfect scientist and a perfect human being. Well, he was neither. He was not a perfect scientist. He was a very great scientist, greatest scientist next to Newton, I would say. And as a human being, he had various very serious flaws, which maybe we shouldn't touch on at this time.
Well, we will ask people to get the book and read it, and they can find out what you're talking about in Einstein's personal life. The new book is Einstein's Mistakes, The Human Failings of Genius, acclaimed physicist and author Hans Ohanian. Hans, it's been an honor to talk to you, and I really enjoyed the book. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.